Hi, I'm Ellen T. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. My phone number is 847-271-0966, and that is Central Standard Time. You can call or text. So I'll go ahead and start to qualify. This is my third stint in OA. I'll talk about what it was like first. I first became aware of my weight and became self-conscious as far back as kindergarten. I remember standing in front of the full-length mirror in my house in this yellow checkered sundress, sucking in my stomach so I would appear thinner at age 5. I don't remember anyone in my family necessarily shaming me or particularly drawing attention to my weight, but I do remember the looks I got when I asked for more or when I helped myself to the sweets dish that was out. Eventually, I was talked to by my parents when I was about 7. My mom was and still is a compulsive overeater, so I know what she was feeling and the helplessness and hopelessness she went through. She was seeing her young daughter displaying all the signs of the very disease she suffered from and didn't know what to say or do to help or stop it. So she would just make comments every now and again about eating less junk food. My dad, however, was more strict and less sensitive about it. He would outright tell me not to eat things from certain food groups, or that if I ate a particular certain thing, I would get heavier and heavier. I'm sure he also felt helpless. I don't have any children, but I imagine if I did have a child who showed signs of a disorder, I too would feel helpless. My niece is a compulsive overeater, and my sister is not, so she doesn't recognize this in her daughter the way I do. So she is overweight. Now, I may be wrong because I'm not in it, but I think today's society may be easier or more forgiving of kids growing up overweight than they used to be, because of bullying awareness and body shaming is less acceptable now. At least I hope so, because I went through pure hell as a kid, and I just hope she's not going through that. I remember my first binge. I think I was about 8. I found a particular item in the refrigerator that I thought was going to be so yummy, but it was a particular item just used for baking. So I thought I had struck gold. Boy, I was shocked when I got a mouthful of bitter when I was expecting sweet, but guess what? I ate it anyways. I was hoping it would start to taste better. From here forward, I remember getting chairs to climb up into the cabinets, raiding the pantry, and continuously emptying the jars and bowls of goodies around my house and my grandma's house. Visitors, when I was visiting people's houses, I think my first fat joke started in about 3rd grade. I was brutally teased every day to the point of nauseam. I was taunted by the mean group of kids all day. The teachers were fully aware. They didn't know how to stop it either. I was just plain ignored. By the time I was 10, I was obese. It is really hard to be a compulsive overeater as a kid because your parents control your food. You can't even have your own binges, so I did whatever I could to get my hands on food. But like I said, my mom is a compulsive overeater, so it wasn't that difficult in my house to obtain junk food. I hoarded what I could, as much as I could, without getting caught, and I became pretty good at hiding and sneaking around. I learned all the tricks and the trades of the game, so to speak. My first diet was when I was 14. I went on Nutrisystem. I lost 70 pounds. I thought, okay, eating healthy isn't so bad. I can do this. I was beginning to exercise willpower for the first time. Little did I know my disease was gearing up in the background to have me gain all my weight back and more. Needless to say, by the time I was 16, I ballooned up. I probably weighed about 230 pounds. As soon as I got my first job in high school, I used all of my money for fast food and junk food. I went to an all-girls school, all-girls high school, so I had a nice break from being teased at school since it was mostly the boys that were cruel and unkind to me. But I had plenty of boys mistreat me on the bus within our friend group, so it didn't completely go away. Over the next couple years, I joined Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers. I don't know why I thought it would be any different than my Nutrisystem experience, but I was desperate to be thin, so that's what I did. This time, I lost 85 pounds. I was then ready to go away to college and start over, where no one knew me or knew I was fat. I wasn't quite at my goal weight yet, so I was still exercising all the time and eating like a bird. I became obsessed with the fitness center in college. People in the dorm called me Stairmaster since I was always on it. I got pretty close to my goal weight, but I still wasn't happy, and I didn't understand why. I was too young and inexperienced and uneducated to know that I was a compulsive overeater at that time. I began to sneak food from my roommate and from the vending machine areas. I started to have little binges again. I would go at night or when no one was around. I also started drinking with friends. That kind of replaced the food compulsion in a way. I became pretty irresponsible with school and promiscuous. I never had any male attention before, so this felt nice. I never felt attractive in my life before this or had a boyfriend. Eventually, I wound up regularly binging again, but I was able to somewhat control it because I feel like I was an exercise bulimic. This went on for about 2 years. I began to lose my battle with physical when I got a boyfriend and started to get comfortable, as they say, in that relationship, and I gained weight. He would eventually break up with me when I ballooned back up to about 245. By this point, I had lost and gained 70 to 100 pounds at least 3 times. I've obviously been through it. So now what happened? Well, I first discovered OA in college when I saw a flyer for a meeting at the church. I obviously knew I had a problem with food, so I decided to go to a meeting. I didn't really understand it much. It was a big book meeting, and even though I grew up Catholic, the God thing kind of chased me away. I didn't think the God I was familiar with cared or had anything to do with my eating or my food. In graduate school, I was back in Chicago and I was uncomfortably obese. I decided to try OA again because I think I knew there was something there for me. I understood it better this time. I caught on to the God of my understanding thing, and I stayed for about a year and a half. I had experienced some spiritual fitness and a few days of abstinence here and there, but no real recovery. I experienced a lot of different types of meetings because I was in Chicago. They had big book meetings, OA, 12 and 12, speaker meetings, marathons, conventions. I even went to an all weekend retreat, and I needed to go through all this, and I'm so glad I did. I learned a lot. Then I got out of the habit of going to meetings. I fell off the wagon again. I started to binge and gain weight. I wound up in a miserable 15-year eating frenzy and relapse. I got up to 325 pounds this time. Over this 15-year time span, I had Lap-Band weight loss surgery. That worked to get the weight off until I learned how to trick the band. And I ate all my sweets and junk food in liquid form or melted form. So that was a very temporary solution. I had lost maybe about another 100 pounds or so, but slowly but surely packed it back on, plus more. I became the highest weight I'd ever been, probably around 350 pounds. I stopped weighing myself. Lap band or not, that didn't stop my binging. Years later, in 2014, I started going to OA again because I had some sort of awakening. I realized at the rate I was going, I was 40 years old. I'd be in a scooter by the time I was 55. I found a big book sponsor that was pretty strict. She was really good for me, though. She provided me with structure and specific guidance, and I needed that. I still use the tools and tips that she gave me. She helped me quickly get through the steps. I got through to step 9, and I had about a 6-month period of recovery and reprieve from compulsive overeating. I had a spiritual transformation. I thought I was finally on my way to a great recovery. Well, I didn't incorporate the steps into my daily routine, so I fell into relapse again at about month 7. I hid this from her because I was embarrassed. I didn't want her to think all of her hard work and energy were for nothing. So I just dropped off out of communication with her, and I eventually told her I relapsed. Of course, she said she was there for me whenever I needed her. I could have told her this the whole time, and maybe she would have helped me if I reached out, but I was too embarrassed. 8 years of another messy relapse and period of depression went by. I was 49 years old, and at this point, I had just had another bariatric surgery. This time, the surgeon suggested gastric bypass. The weight was just falling off because my digestive system was shortened, but it didn't fix my brain or the compulsive overeater in me. I was still struggling and white-knuckling it all the way through it. I thought I could do this with just this new physical tool and therapy alone. Boy, was I wrong. I needed the mentality and the spiritual fitness and the healing that OA provides me. I needed to be working the steps and working on my program each day. I have now been abstinent for almost 2 years, the longest I've ever gone. Yes, the surgery helped me physically, initially to get the weight off. I am super grateful that I have this tool, but it did nothing for the compulsive overeater brain I have. That is all OA. Emotionally, I could not do this without the program and the support of my fellows. So, what is it like now? Each day, I try to put as much time into my recovery as I did my disease. That was a lot of time occupying my mind. What was I going to binge on next, and where would I go to get it? How would I hide my food? Where would I park down the street so no one would see me binging in my car? Would I have enough time for a quick nap after my binge? How was I going to get more of a particular item that I liked at a party or a gathering? And if there wasn't enough there, I would have to go somewhere to binge on something just as good or better. Where would I go? What would I get? How soon would I be able to get out of there to go get it? How could I eat the rest of what was there without everyone knowing it was me and only me who ate it all? The hiding places I had at work, how could I make them less obvious? Maybe I could buy food for everyone all the time so it didn't look like I was the only one always eating it. How was I going to get all the goodies in the break room before everyone else got to them? I hoarded those goodies, not knowing and almost to the point of not caring if people knew it was me. It was a vicious, continuous cycle of binging and depression. All of this time, almost all of my time, was spent in my disease. So for my recovery, I start the day by listening to a phone meeting or podcast in the car on my way to work. So versus when I was in my disease, I would start the day by binging. So just junk food for breakfast. Then I don't get out of the car before reading and reflecting on Voices of Recovery or For Today. Throughout the day, I'm mindful of my recovery and try to stay present and spiritually fit. Versus in my disease, I would be mindful of my food and what I was going to binge on. So I tried to stay equal amounts of time in my spirituality versus what I did before with my binging. If I do something to someone at work or just in general in life, I do an immediate 10 step or as soon as I can catch it so that I can make amends and
Holy
not
Nani.
Be over. 5 minutes? Thank you.
Yes.
I can make, okay. I can catch it so that I can make amends and not eat over it later. On my lunch hour, I try to do a short meditation or listen to another podcast to help me stay in touch with my program. If my day starts to get away from me or I feel overwhelmed, I slow down and say the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. This gets me out of my head and gets me realigned with my higher power. I can then hear what her will is for me because it certainly is not stress. If I'm struggling with my food at any time throughout the day, I will text my sponsor or another fellow to plan an outreach call for when I get home or even for another day. Just having that call scheduled helps me feel better and more in touch with my program and my higher power. I can also just do an outreach text in that moment. Let someone know, hey, I'm struggling. I just want to reach out to another fellow. Magically, whatever they say in response almost always helps me through. If I can't get a hold of anyone, or even instead of that, sometimes I do a self-talk or soothing by giving myself a big hug and talking to my inner child about why she wants to eat and why she wants to eat to comfort herself. I let her know that the adult Ellen is here now to take care of her and anything she needs in that moment. I let her know that it is okay for her to feel whatever it is she is feeling, and she no longer needs to hurt herself with food. Back to outreach calls, though, I try to have 1 to 2 per week because reaching out to another fellow is our lifeline in this program. It really helps me to get through my week. My instinct, however, is to retreat from these calls because my disease wants me to stay isolated. But once I talk to another fellow, I always feel better. And I always feel like I gain more recovery and spiritual freedom. And these are the things that keep me from picking up because, unfortunately, we are just all one compulsive bite away from falling back into the clutches of this dangerous disease. On the way home from work, I continue my daily reprieve by listening to another phone meeting or podcast in the car. At night, I spend a little time journaling or reading literature. If it is not my in-person meeting night, I find that these tools keep me abstinent. They keep me in fit spiritual condition. If I'm particularly struggling that day, I can do a Zoom meeting or call a fellow. I try to fit in a little bit of, quote, real life, everyday life activities into my evening, like watching TV, playing with my dog, spending time with my family, just so I have a good emotional balance in my life. When it's time for bed, I go through my nightly inventory and text it to my sponsor. We do A-E-I-O-U. So A, was I abstinent? E, did I exercise? I, what did I do for myself today? O, what did you do for others today? Or what did I do for another person today? U, do I have any unresolved matters or resentments that I need to take care of? And Y is for yay or yippee, and that is where I put down anything good that happened that day or something I'm grateful for. Another thing I do sometimes is a gratitude list for a nightly review. Another thing I did for a while was, when I was struggling with my food, was I would text my food to my sponsor every night. But I know several OAers report their food to their sponsor every day, but I didn't really find it worked for me because tracking my food feels too much like a diet for me, and everyone has their own path when it comes to defining abstinence. I find that when I journal or process my feelings daily, I usually don't feel the urge to overeat. It's the way I keep things in check. And after 45 years of being a compulsive overeater, I'm finally maintaining a healthy body weight. I have a daily reprieve from binging by using the tools. I try to utilize at least one extra tool per day so that I don't get any urges to compulsively overeat. And if I do get that itch or that urge, I will immediately write down my feelings or dive into some literature to rid myself of that pain, because that's what it really is. It's pain. Feeling the pain.
Please wrap up. Thank you.
Okay. Because I don't want to feel the pain of my disease anymore. I give it all up to my higher power and I let her handle it. She's my way out of this disease. Let's see. Right now I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12. And I believe it when they say service is slimming, because I believe it. And service is a huge part of staying abstinent. We cannot keep the recovery we have without giving it away. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Ellen,
I think that,
20 minutes.
Yeah.
I need to wrap up, honey, please. 20 minutes.
Sure.
Okay.
The topic that I would like to announce would be how can I live in step 12 and be of service to someone?
And then did you want to leave your phone number before I turn off the recording?
Sure, I can leave it again. It's 847-271-0966, and it's Central Standard Time.